This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
House prices are going down. It's the opposite of what we've been hearing for years, right? Prices declining in major cities across the country. How long is this going to last and how do you feel about it? G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hack. Coming up, we're going to get into property prices.
Like, it's a delicate situation for the government because everybody knows that house prices are a joke, but there are millions of Australians who actually want house prices to keep rising.
Yeah, I want to know if you're looking at buying, are you waiting, are you hoping that prices are going to keep going down, or if you've just bought, are you worried about losing value? Message in 0439 757 555. Later, have you ever been blocked from your own social media account without doing anything wrong? You've got a message saying you can't access your account, you're accused of doing something you didn't do. It's been happening a bit, so we're going to look into that. First, though.
Hack. 45-year-old Australian man Simon Carman now charged with murder. The body of 17-year-old Thai girl Tunchanok Domhomla found in a suitcase.
On Triple J.
A heads up, this is a distressing story out of Thailand. You might have seen it in the headlines. The body of a 17-year-old girl found in a dumped suitcase. An Australian man charged with her murder. Now, Thai police are saying there are similarities with two other cases over the past couple of years, but this case isn't necessarily linked. It's raising concerns about sex tourism broadly in Southeast Asia and potentially predatory men travelling there to meet young girls and women. Ariana Lucente has been looking into it.
Outside a police station in the Thai beach resort city of Pattaya, a family grieves their daughter. This is Tong Chai Donhomla, the dad of a 17-year-old girl who was found dead.
I am deeply saddened. My daughter had no mother, so whenever she wanted anything, she would find a way herself, and she always helped me too.
The victim's name is Tunchanok Donhomla. Her nickname was Cake. And last Friday, police found her naked body inside a suitcase, along with her personal items dumped near a railway track in an area with tall grass. An Australian man has now been charged with her murder.
I feel bad for what happened to your daughter. It was out of my control.
That's Simon Peter Carman, the man who has been charged. He's making a video statement at the police station after getting arrested, addressing the family.
I know you'll be very sad, upset, same me. It shouldn't happen, and I hope you're okay. I know you're not, but I hope.
The 45-year-old from Western Australia is facing four charges: murder, concealment of a body, moving or destroying a body, and taking a minor for sexual purposes. He was arrested at Bangkok Airport before he planned to board a flight to Perth. Thai police say Simon Carman has partially confessed. Here's the police colonel.
He gave in due to the amount of evidence piling up against him. He also apologised to the family of the victim. He said he didn't intend to kill her, but that it happened as a result of things getting out of hand.
But the investigator leading this case says Carman denies all the charges. So, what happened? Police have released footage relevant to the case. There's video of Simon Carman walking with Tunchanok down a beach road, where police allege he picked her up. There's also CCTV footage of him walking through the lobby of his accommodation with her, holding hands and getting into the elevator. By the next night, footage shows him leaving the accommodation dragging a suitcase, but returning without it. Her body was found just 10 minutes' drive from that accommodation. The police on the allegations again.
He didn't know what to do, so at that point he panicked, stuffed her body into the bag and kept it in the bathroom for about a day before taking it out to be disposed of.
Tunchanok was reported missing by a friend, who had texted her saying she arrived at the, quote, foreign man's room. Police say, according to Carman, the pair got into an argument in the room. Thai media is reporting that they argued over money, after initially agreeing he would pay her the equivalent of 43 Aussie dollars, and that he offered her half instead. Police say Carman told them the girl apparently used a knife to threaten him, and that he acted in self-defense. Officers say they noticed fingernail scratches on Carman that were consistent with a struggle. and the girl's neck had signs of strangulation.
I think we've all been horrified by what has been reported and extend our deepest sympathies to the family and friends who have lost someone they love dearly.
Australia's Foreign Minister Penny Wong says she'll talk to Thai authorities about the case, but a court date won't be announced until police finish their investigation. If guilty, he could face life in prison or the death penalty. This is Tunchnok's stepmother, Oradi Basarakum, who says her eyes are swollen from crying.
I told the police I want him executed. As a stepmother, I don't know what else to say. I just want him executed.
Now, Thai police are saying this case is similar to two other unsolved cases over the past 2 years, where a victim's body had been stuffed in luggage along with their personal items and dumped. Though they haven't suggested those are linked to this case.
But this latest murder has raised concerns again about the phenomenon known as sex tourism in Southeast Asia and fears that Australians could be preying on young women and girls in places like Thailand.
Hack on Triple J.
Arianna Lucente reporting there, and yeah, disturbing story. I'm sure there'll be many developments. The ABC News online site will have all of those. We'll also try and keep you across them as well.
Hack.
The official numbers are in, revealing home values across the country have recorded their biggest monthly drop since December 2022.
On Triple J.
Yeah, what is going on with house prices? They're up, they're down, it's all a bit confusing. How are you feeling about it? Are you looking to buy and you're stoked at the thought of this, of prices plummeting before you have to hand over some cash? Or you've just bought and you're kicking yourself, you're thinking, why didn't I wait a bit longer? Maybe you're in that other camp and you really see no way into the market at all. Even if prices do come down, you don't imagine you're going to be buying anytime soon. Message in 0439 757 555. It's something that is dominating the headlines at the moment. And a lot of people are asking, what is driving this latest softening of prices? Well, we're going to get some answers to some of your questions in a bit with someone who has been looking at all the data and who is across it. But first, political reporter Evelyn Manfield with this update.
They have attacked confidence in the market.
Over the medium term, house prices in Australia will continue to grow.
Everything you just said is actually a load of crap.
You don't assess things like property on the basis of a day-to-day.
There's been a lot of talk, some of it clearly heated, about house prices lately, because for the first time in a long time, they're actually starting to dip. New data shows the biggest monthly drop in home values in more than 3 years. Sydney fell by 1.2%, Melbourne by 1%, and Canberra by 0.6%. Other cities stayed flat or grew slightly, but at a much slower rate than we've been used to. Now, even though monthly prices are starting to fall, the number of homes failing to sell at auction is rising.
Even though buying conditions are looking better now, they're probably lacking the confidence to make such a high commitment financial decision.
That's Tim Lawless from Cotality, the research firm behind today's price update.
Or they might even be a little bit reluctant to buy into the market now with the view that prices could decline further.
So what's causing this?
This is a cyclical market, and the main thing that drives movement in house prices from month to month and year to year is what goes on with interest rates.
That's the Housing Minister, Claire O'Neill. According to experts, there's a mix of factors, like because house prices have grown for so long, they're kind of hitting a ceiling. But there's also interest rate rises and the high cost of other living expenses that's knocking buyer confidence. But some, like Shadow Treasurer Tim Wilson, are pointing more heavily towards the government's recent changes to restrict negative gearing and to change the discount applied to capital gains tax.
Jim Chalmers has crashed the confidence of the Australian economy since his federal budget.
Although the opposition's Shadow Housing Minister Andrew Bragg says this about today's data.
I think these are blips and bumps.
Now, the government insists house prices will actually continue to climb.
The Treasury estimates are...
What Treasury estimates is that house prices will continue to increase, but they'll increase by slightly less
than they would have otherwise.
But the opposition's Michaelia Cash says,
based on the actual statistics, you've actually got to start living in the real world and take responsibility for the real world impact of your policies.
So house prices falling might seem like a great thing if you're looking to buy, right? But for those who own a house, particularly if you've only bought recently, it can be a worry because even though you're in the market, you don't want your house to be worth less than what you paid. And that's why it's such a politically tricky path to navigate and why the government isn't claiming this is a win despite saying house prices are too high. The other major factor at play is the number of homes being built because experts say that's the key to affordability.
You're listening to Hack on Triple J.
Evelyn Manfield reporting from Parliament House there, and we've got a lot of people on the text line who've got big thoughts on house prices, which is understandable because it is something we've been talking about for a few years. Someone's saying, as a 25-year-old, a house is a pipe dream. It's a burden, not an investment. I've lost all hope in owning a home before I'm 30. Another person saying house prices and rental prices are a joke. Growth does not match our wages and it's a basic human right to have shelter. Someone else saying we need to delete interest rates, get rid of the banks. I'm keeping all the money in my mattress, that person says. And another person saying, I think we should agree as a collective that housing should return to its necessity, the idea that it's a shelter and crucial to our society's thriving. Look, let's get a little more into this trend of prices softening. And with us is Gareth Hutchins. Now, Gareth is a business and economics reporter with the ABC. So he's a bit of an expert on what's going on here. Gareth, thank you so much for joining us on Hack.
Thanks for having me.
So what is going on here? Because people are either really nervous or they're cheering about property prices. Is this as dramatic a change as it seems?
Yeah, you'd be forgiven for thinking that the sky is falling in, wouldn't you? I mean, there's a real hyper-focus from the media about this very small change in property prices. But because our economy, everything in our economy is geared towards property rising, then it does seem like a calamitous situation when prices just decline a little bit. Now, what we've seen, there have been a couple of data sets out. One of them is the PropTrack Home Price Index. Now, it has shown that house prices have declined by 0.9% over the last 3 months. So not great for homeowners who are wanting to sell. But to keep things in perspective, house prices are still 5.8% higher than they were a year ago. And a year ago, we were all complaining that house prices were too high. So now they're 5.8% higher than they were that time.
Yeah, okay. So that does put it into a bit of perspective then that, you know, even though it might seem month on month a dramatic decrease, it's still higher than where we were a year ago. I mean, is there any idea what is behind this?
So the RBA, it has lifted interest rates 3 times this year. That has had a clear impact on house prices. When America decided to bomb Iran, that had a huge negative impact on business and consumer confidence. Inflation and the cost of living generally is still concerning a lot of people, and people generally feel pretty maxed out. So you've got a combination of lots of things.
I mean, a lot of young Australians especially who are hoping to get into the housing market might be looking at this situation and going, oh, what do I do? Do I hold off for a bit? Do I see if they get lower? Like, is there any indication that prices will keep going down?
Yeah, so economists are suggesting that prices will keep declining slowly for a couple of months. And so when economists speak of the short term, they're generally talking about the next 12 months. When they talk of the long term, they're talking about 5 years or more. So in the short term, in the next 12 months, I think prices could decline. But I haven't seen anybody saying that prices will be lower than they are now in 5 years' time. Now, if you were a young person looking to buy a home, it's a really interesting situation for both buyers and sellers because they're both going to be playing the waiting game now. If you wanted to buy a house, you might be thinking, oh, maybe if I just wait a few months. But then sellers are also saying, oh, if prices are falling, I don't want to sell now because I won't be able to get what I wanted or what I could have got 6 months ago. So you've got these two opposing dynamics, both people playing the waiting game, which makes it quite difficult to know what the behaviour of people will be.
Yeah, it's really hard. And you can really imagine a lot of very serious discussions happening at dinner tables across the country at the moment. I mean, politicians aren't willing generally to say whether they're happy about prices going up or down. They can get themselves into some sticky spots. Even on this program, we've had politicians who've maybe, you know, said something that's got a bit of negative attention about house prices. Do you think the government, though, would be pleased about what we're seeing now generally?
I mean, that is a great question and an easy one for me to put my foot in my mouth. Let's pretend I was the government, right? Just for the moment, because I don't want to say what the government is thinking on this. Quietly, I might perhaps be kind of happy that things were going this way because, as we said before, the heat has been taken out of the market a little bit. But you wouldn't want to say that out loud. Like, it's a delicate situation for the government because everybody knows that house prices are a joke, but there are millions of Australians who actually want house prices to keep rising. And the problem with the housing downturn is that it has a negative wealth effect on households with mortgages. And that means that when people see the value of their home declining, they feel less wealthy. And that starts to then affect their behaviour, so they might start spending less. And when millions of people start behaving that way at the same time, it can really impact the economy and the mood of people. So the government might not mind seeing some of the heat being taken out of the market right now, but it definitely is hoping that it doesn't turn into a much larger downturn. Let's put it that way.
Interesting. Let's hear from the Hack audience now. And on the text line, Jack is saying, look, I do think some perspective is needed for this situation. Let's compare how much prices have gone up the last 3 years compared to this decline. Another person saying the government needs to realise that most people want to live in homes, not sell them. And someone else, Jackson from Gosford, saying, we just bought our new place for $560,000. Not bad when it was valued at $630,000, but I am kicking myself I didn't wait a little longer and get somewhere closer to home. We've got Bree on the line with us. Bree, you and your partner bought in Geelong 3 years ago. What are you thinking when you see this news that after you've bought, prices are now going down?
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying. You know, we feel like we did all the right things of what we were told to do, to save up, buy a house. And, you know, it doesn't matter what your first house is like because it's just your first home. And now it feels like we potentially will be stuck in this house forever because we can barely afford this. And if the value of it goes down, then what?
Is it really difficult in the current environment in terms of interest rates and stuff, like just paying off what you've got?
Yeah, for sure. What we sort of thought would be comfortable, like when we were first looking at buying, what we sort of thought our mortgage repayments, what would be comfortable for us, we're now paying over that number. So, we can't save, essentially.
Oh, Bree, I'm sorry to hear that, but thank you so much for speaking with us. I appreciate it. This is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm speaking with ABC Economics reporter Gareth Hutchins, and we're talking about this news that property prices have been declining in some parts of the country. Gareth, we heard from Bree just then. She's in Geelong. I mean, regional areas are actually bucking this falling price trend, right?
Yeah, so according to that PropTrack index, house prices in Australia's regions are still at record highs. They're 9.5% higher than they were a year ago. Like, regional communities are struggling. And part of the reason why prices are so high in the regions is because people are fleeing our capital cities, searching for cheaper housing. So they're going to the regions, pushing prices up. And then when they get there, they're finding out that, the infrastructure isn't as great as it was in the capital cities. And now they're putting demands on governments to build more infrastructure in the regions, and it creates a lot of friction. The house prices in our regions are 9.5% higher than they were a year ago.
Interesting. I mean, Gareth, young people might be feeling a bit of whiplash when they look at some of this media coverage because for so long the conversation has been around prices being way too high. What can we do to stop them, to bring them down? But now, as you pointed out earlier, the media focus has been on them falling and the negative consequences of that. Has that kind of conversation surprised you as someone who's covered this area for a little while?
Not at all. Not at all, because this is how we treat housing in this country. We treat it, unfortunately, like an asset class more so than we do a shelter for people to live in and to raise families in. Think about the prices for a moment. Try to put some numbers on them. So if you're thinking of buying a house today, so first home buyer, let's just say it's $850,000, a lot of money. If the price of that has declined by 1% in the last month. That means it's now $8,500 cheaper. So that brings it down to $841,500. Then the next month, if it loses 1%, it will then become another $8,415 cheaper. Then another 1% the next month, it will lose $8,330 in value. So over those 3 months, it's gone from worth $850,000 to now worth $824,000. So you've essentially saved yourself as the first home buyer $25,000. As someone who's selling their home, they've lost the $25,000. But in the scheme of things, is that a huge amount? Is it a disaster for the seller? Well, it depends. Is it good for the buyer? Yeah, like who doesn't want to get a house for less?
We've got a lot of people listening now who maybe have thought about or have got into the housing market using the 5% deposit scheme. How worried do you think young Australians should be about this situation and being in potentially negative equity?
Okay, so what's negative equity? Negative equity is a situation where you have bought the home for, let's say, $850,000 again. Let's use that example. But then the value of the home drops to $750,000. So now you are in negative equity of $100,000. However, the important thing to realise when hearing people talking about negative equity is that you will only get into that situation if you sell the house, because that's the only way that you can realise the loss. So it all depends. If you're not looking to sell your property soon, what does it matter if prices are falling a little bit? Because you're not going to sell your house and then cop the loss when you take it to the market. If you don't intend to sell your house, what's the worry? Do you still have a job? Are you managing your mortgage payments okay? If you're safe and secure in your job, then that's great. And you shouldn't have to worry about it too much.
We're hearing from so many people, Gareth. I mean, I don't expect you have any premonitions of what may be around the corner, but what are experts saying? You're talking to a lot of people in this area. Like how's the next 5-10 years looking, the long term?
5-10 years, that's a really hard thing to say, because you've got to take in the projections for population growth. You've got to figure out what's happening with geopolitics. You've got to figure out what's happening with our energy supplies. Like, how reliant will we still be on, say, oil rather than this transfer we're trying to do to renewable energy, which all has a big impact on the cost of living. So over time, house prices trend upwards. But what we don't want to happen, what has happened in the last 20 years is that house prices have run away from a normal person's ability to pay for them. So they've been growing at much faster rates than your average wage or salary income. So if you can pull house price growth back towards the growth in wage and salary income, it'd be much easier for younger people to buy a home. That is what the government is trying to do with some of its tax changes now. But whether or not it can manage to make that work with trends in population growth and what's happening with geopolitics and everything, you can't say. You don't know.
Interesting stuff. Thank you so much for having a chat with us. Gareth Hutchins, business and economics reporter at the ABC. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
And still so many people who are messaging in, who we've got on the phone line as well. We actually have Jess, who has just bought a house in Sydney. Jess, how are you feeling about this whole situation? Because Sydney's one of those places where prices have been coming down over the past few months.
Oh, look, we feel terrible. I feel like we can't get ahead. Our mortgage repayments keep climbing. There's no kind of relief in sight. Cost of living crisis is ongoing. It's, you know, the society and the government tells you to buy a house, but I think, I kind of regret it now.
Oh, really? So if you had the same option to buy again, maybe you would have held off a little longer, you're thinking?
Potentially, because the economy is just so unpredictable and there just seems to be no relief in sight. If I'd known that houses might have been cheaper a few months around the corner, then we absolutely would have waited. But you can just never tell. So you just kind of strike when you can. But again, it's just you feel like you can't get ahead and that we're always being punished and that young people really just, can't get one up.
Yeah, Jess, thank you so much for your thoughts. A lot of people on the text line saying similar things, saying I'm just not confident that I'll ever buy a house, or if I do, that I won't ever not be in debt. Someone saying, as a homeowner, yes, people have a right to shelter, but at the same time, I don't want all my life savings to go down the drain. Someone else, though, saying, just buy a house to live in, not make money from. You don't buy a new car with the intention of it rising in value. You buy it to drive as it's intended to do so.
Hack. There's no one-stop shop for when things go wrong online to get that free, fair and independent resolution.
On Triple J.
Right, going to move on now. And this is a terrifying thought. You discover someone has been impersonating you online, using your pictures, uploading your videos as their own. Has this happened to you? Because some creators around the world are reporting a fair bit of it. And what happens when one of those catfish accounts actually blows up and gains hundreds of thousands of followers? You get kicked off social media, not the person who's pretending to be you. Jackson Worthington has more.
Alicia is an ASMR content creator. She posts safe work content on YouTube and Twitch under the profile Diddly Donga and not safe for work stuff on a bunch of subscription sites. About 6 weeks ago, she realised some of her videos had been ripped and re-uploaded to Facebook.
I'm used to being impersonated, but seeing an account with that many followers was definitely new to me.
Alicia made the discovery after her own Meta account was banned because it violated the company's guidelines on integrity.
I got permanently banned on Instagram on May 17th. I appealed it and it took them a long time to get back to me. Inevitably, they rejected the appeal.
She tried everything to get her account back, including paying to sign up to Meta Verified and getting her followers to report the imposter, but she didn't have any luck.
I think what makes it feel so helpless is that the platforms don't really seem to want to do anything about it.
The Facebook account impersonating Alicia amassed more than 500,000 followers, posting pictures and videos of her. It was also offering subscription-only content and posting AI-generated photos.
Every photo, I can tell it looks like me, but not quite. It looks like maybe they're using multiple prompts, so like maybe someone else's body with my face, that kind of thing.
A report from the Australian Telecommunication Industry Ombudsman released last month found 80% of Aussies had experienced an issue with a digital service in the past year. Of that 80%, more than half had issues accessing accounts and reported slow or no response from customer service teams. Cynthia Gaber is the ombudsman.
The bit that's really frustrating is people then experience really poor customer service when they're reaching out for help and trying to get something resolved online.
She says cases like what's happening to Alicia are really concerning.
We're increasingly doing more things online, and you expect that when you identify something's gone wrong, you've got somewhere to go to get it sorted, or at least you'll get a, you know, in inverted commas, a fair hearing.
The Ombudsman wants the power to handle digital platform complaints alongside telecommunications issues. It says big tech platforms should be doing more to help customers.
We absolutely in our research hear that people are giving up. 2 in 5 people in our research never made a complaint and just gave up. And when they do, 2 in 3 are left dissatisfied. I don't know that that's good enough, but we do just give up when so much of our lives is online now.
I asked Meta about Alicia's banned account and the account impersonating her. A spokesperson told me it's against Meta policies to impersonate another person and the imposter profile has been removed. Meta says it uses a mixture of automated and human review technology to enforce its policies and encourages users to report content they suspect violates community standards. It says it removed more than 20 million accounts impersonating large content creators in 2025, and reports relating to accounts impersonating large creators have dropped by 33%. Meta's AI support assistant was rolled out in Australia in March this year. Meta says it's designed to help resolve problems from start to finish.
This seems to be a growing issue.
Alicia got her account back after we contacted Meta, but she's still worried about what the rise of AI will mean for other creators in the future, and she's frustrated by how hard it was to get help.
I think it's scary for creators as AI impersonation becomes more common and these companies don't seem to know how to deal with it or how to determine who the real creator is.
Hack on Triple J. Jackson Worthington reporting there on the text line, someone saying, I heard some people have gone so far as to get their account back through the legal system. The real problem is AI controlling the system. A real human would be able to properly review it. Also getting a lot of messages still through on house prices, property prices. Someone saying, this is crazy. I just bought a house and I'm happy to see house prices go down. We can't keep going on like this as a society, that person saying. Another person on the text line, it doesn't really matter how much the house prices drop, they're still unaffordable. And someone else, get over the price of your house going down. You still have a roof over your head, that person says. All right, that is all we've got time for on Hack for now. Tomorrow on the Long Listen of the Week and the Hack podcast going up early tomorrow morning, got a really interesting chat with a woman called Beck. Now, Beck has a fascinating story because she was born into what she describes as a cult. She was forced into marriage. She was in this situation right through until her mid to late 20s when she decided to leave. And she tells really incredible story of getting out and rebuilding her life. So we'll have that story for you tomorrow. But that's all we've got time for on Hack for now. I'll be back tomorrow. Catch you then. Hack.